You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
First Nations listeners are advised that the following program may contain the names and voices of our mob who have passed on to the dreaming. You're listening to Yellowman on 3CR, 855M your dial, 3cr.org.au, streamed online and via the playback service. I've just been playing some music for the first half of the show. Something I did want to talk about today, though, is just a little bit about the treaty process. In particular, you know, the Victoria State Treaty process is the one I'm talking about here. But, you know, what I wanted to have a yarn about is just a bit about the deceptive language that exists around it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, don't get me wrong, if the vast majority of mob want treaty, like, it's not up to me to say that treaty is not something that they can have. You know, if that's what the majority wants, that's what the majority wants. But to come to that conclusion, people need to have actual, proper, free, prior, informed consent into what they're agreeing or not agreeing to. You know, it's not good enough to put out deceptive language around the treaty and to trick people and con people into supporting it and to not give them the full information so they can make that proper informed decision with all of the pros and cons, which is, you know, essentially what's happening now. There's no proper information being put out about all the pros and the cons. You know, there's very deceptive language being used, and as a result, a lot of people are falling into this treaty trap. So, you know, it's just something that I wanted to address a bit. But, you know, just to give you a bit of an example, I'll give you, you know, one example of what I'm talking about here. In a lot of the stuff that the Victorian State Treaty body is putting out, and, you know, the First Peoples Assembly and, you know, all these other similar groups and stuff, you go and you read the literature that they're putting out, and they're using terms like nothing off the table, for example. You know, they're portraying this treaty process as something where, you know, there's nothing off the table and, you know, mob can ask and can go for whatever they want as a result of the treaty. But it's just absolutely not true. You know, they've used these terminologies like nothing off the table, but it's not actually the case. You know, this isn't how it works. There is plenty of things that are off the table, regardless of if mob want it or not. It's just automatically off the table. And the reason it is off the table is because the way that the treaty process is being put forward as this Victorian state-based legislation. You know, it's not an actual proper international treaty under international treaty laws. It's a domestic agreement between mob and between the Victorian State Parliament. Now, because of that, you know, because of limitations in legislature and because of the way that the Victorian Constitution is set out, there are things that are simply not actually able to be put on the table in the first place because the Victorian government doesn't have the authority or the means to be able to enact them. Now, I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about because I am using, complicated language if you don't understand what I'm going on about. But, you know, they talk about nothing off the table, for example, but one example of something that, you know, is off the table because it cannot be put on the table because of the way it's proposed is stuff like designated seats in Parliament. You know, if mob wanted to have their own designated seats in the Victorian State Parliament where they could put forward their own amendments and, you know, put forward their own bills and where they could have a say in a vote in what legislation is and isn't enacted in this state, you know, if mob wanted to have those designated seats in Parliament, they can't get it through a treaty. You know, it doesn't work that way because at the end of the day, seats in Parliament are something that is set by the Victorian Constitution. And the only way to amend that Victorian Constitution is to have a statewide referendum that is voted in favour of by the majority. You know, it's not anything a treaty can give. Treaty can't do anything for those seats in Parliament and the way that Parliament is currently organised. So, you know, that is off the table. You know, another thing is land. Land is off the table. Sure, you know, they might be able to give some Torrens titles. You know, they might be able to give some sort of land rights. but they're not actually able to give land back. You know, very different things. You know, there's a big difference between having a right under a colonial government and colonial laws, having a right to access and usage of a property, even though, you know, that right is something that is still supposedly given by the Victorian state government, a right that they can take away as well. And, you know, even though it comes with all of these other little attachments and amendments, like, for example, zoning laws, for example, extraction laws, and, you know, all of these other laws that exist, you know, it's not like we can get our own land back as a result of this treaty and go do what we want on our land. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, any land that we get under this treaty will be just Torrens titles that at the end of the day are subjected to other colonial legislation, other colonial laws. You know, so that's off the table. Land back's off the table. They don't have the right, the authority, the Victorian State Parliament, to give the land up. You know, autonomy is off the table. Sovereignty is off the table. You know, there's no sovereignty to be had when you're signing domestic agreements with a colonial entity. That's not sovereignty. You know, how's sovereignty being recognised? Sovereignty is our unceded rights to our lands and to our own autonomy, our own self-determination around our own affairs. But there's none of that being given as a part of this state-wide treaty process. You know, all that's being offered is stuff like advisory bodies at the end of the day. They say nothing's on the, off the table, but the only thing that's on the table is advisory bodies and these little concessions that are given within this colonial structure. You know, it's deceptive language at the end of the day. And, you know, again, like at the end of the day, if people want a treaty, by all means, you know, go for it. And if that's what you want, that's your prerogative. But we have to at least be honest about it so that people aren't, you know, falling for deceptive language and being hoodwinked into thinking they're getting something that they're not. You know, actually, you have, back in, if you tuned in on Invasion Day, for example, you know, I had somebody from the Victorian First Peoples Assembly being interviewed down at the march. And, you know, they were talking about designated seats in Parliament, for example. And it's not the case, though. It's lies at the end of the day. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, it might be the case that these people are deliberately lying. It might be the case that these people just simply don't know better themselves and have been lied to themselves, and they're just repeating the lies that they themselves have heard without realising it's lies. But at the end of the day, regardless of the intention, it's still lies. It's still deceptive language that's being used. You know, people are still being hoodwinked by these lies and these deceptive language. You know, being tricked into supporting something based on, you know, what it can and can't give. But what it can and can't give is not being accurately talked about. It's just lies at the end of the day. But yeah, what are they going to give us? Some more advisory bodies? You know, people talk about how great it is to have advisory bodies. But again, what do advisory bodies do? What have they ever done? We've had advisory bodies at every single level of parliament, whether it be local council, state parliament, or federal parliament. You know, we've had advisory bodies at all levels of parliament for decades now. And what have they achieved? You know, have they managed to close the gap? Have they managed to give us equality and equity? No way. You know, we've still got a massive gap. We're still the most incarcerated people in the world. We've still got the world's highest child removal rates, rates that are higher than during the stolen generations. You know, we've still got mass homelessness amongst our mob. We've still got sacred sites being blown up and destroyed. We've still got our resources being stolen while we're getting no royalties and no compensation for that. You know, things are still continuing on as they have for the last however long now. You know, the advisory bodies haven't managed to do anything about that. You know what, we're going to put our faith into more advisory bodies that are just going to be ignored again and again and again, like they have been for decades. And it's not just our advisory bodies that are ignored, it's, you know, all of these similar advisory bodies that get ignored. You know, people talk about, oh, we'll get a treaty and then if, and this is more deceptive language, by the way, you know, people talk about we'll get a treaty and then if they don't do the right thing or if they don't uphold the treaty or whatever else, then we'll hold them to account. This is another lie that we often hear around this stuff, you know, this whole notion of holding the government to account if they don't do the right thing. But again, that's just more lies. It's more deceptive language. You know, if it was possible to hold the government to account, well, why haven't we held them to account for the last 37 years of failing to implement the recommendations from the Royal Commission to Aboriginal Deaths in Custody? That was 37 years ago now that those recommendations were put down. 35, actually, sorry. But, you know, 35 years ago now that those recommendations were put forward, and how many have been implemented? There's still heaps that haven't been implemented, not at a state level, not at a federal level, not in Victoria or any other state on this entire continent. You know, where's the holding them to account for that? You know, people want to talk about, oh, we'll hold them to account. Well, why don't you go hold them to account for all the stuff that they're already failing on? What about the bringing them home report? Where's the holding them to account for that? Hey, bringing them home report come out in what, 1997? It's nearly 30 years ago. It's 29 years ago this year. 29 years ago, and every single year since that report came out, our child removal rates in every single state have increased. They've gone up every single year since that bringing them home report into Aboriginal child removal came out. And, you know, where's the holding them to account for that? You know, people want to, you know, apparently hold the government to account when they don't uphold their end of the bargain. Well, why don't you go and do it? Why haven't you done it for the last 3 decades? You know, this is what I'm talking about when I talk about this deceptive language. And when I talk about, you know, the way that people try and hoodwink others into supporting this crap, using this deceptive language. You know, if they were actually serious about it, why don't they just tell the truth? If treaty's so good, why do you got to lie about it? Why can't you just tell the truth? You know, if it's good enough to stand up on its own 2 feet, then let it stand up on its own 2 feet. Don't go out and lie and trick people into supporting something. You know, it's that right there, you know, for me is like the whole icing on the cake. That's how I know that treaty's no good. Because if you got to lie to push something, and, you know, if something doesn't have enough merit to stand up on its own 2 feet as it is, then it's not worth it. Why would I support that crap? But yeah, all I encourage people to do is just really be open-minded and thoughtful about what you're being told. And, you know, go and do your own research as well. If you've got someone telling you that they're going to give you designated seats in Parliament, for example, go and look how that actually works and go check that they actually have the power and authority to do that. Go check if they're actually telling the truth. You know, when people tell you about this or about that, go do your own research. Go look it up for yourself. Go figure it out for yourself and, you know, figure out if that's a lie or if that's the truth. And if it's a lie, ask why. Why is it being pushed as a lie? Why isn't it being pushed on its own merits? You know, something to really consider. But yeah, I'm not going to talk any more about that. You know, that's enough about that. I really want people to just, you know, be honest. Just be honest with yourself. Be honest with each other. You know, be honest with what's actually going on here. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I understand the desperation, you know, that exists in our community. You know, I understand why some people are, you know, desperate to take any scraps that fall off the table. Because when you're starving, you know, that's what you do. When you're absolutely starving and you're desperate, you'll take whatever scraps manage to fall off the table. You know, it doesn't matter if at the end of the day all the food on the table is actually by right yours. It doesn't matter if, you know, at the end of the day you actually by right own the table, own the house that the table's in and own the property that the house is on. You know, none of that matters at the end of the day if you're starving. If you're absolutely starving and you're desperate and somebody offers you some scraps, you know, drop some scraps on the ground in front of you, you'll take them because you don't have any other choice. And, you know, unfortunately, I think for a lot of our mob, you know, that's why they've fallen into this whole treaty rhetoric. It's because they're desperate. They're desperate for anything. You know, our people are still being subjected to apartheid and genocide even today, 230-something years into occupation. You know, we're still being subjected to that today. And, you know, you look at Victoria. Victoria is the state that had one of the absolute worst genocides and massacres right across the mainland continent. You know, you look at Aboriginal population groups across the mainland continent, and I think Victoria was actually the one that was reduced the most, you know, the one that was hit the hardest by massacres and by genocide. So, you know, I understand why there is such desperation down here in the Victorian state colony. But at the end of the day, you know, desperation, we have to recognize that there's a difference between seeking stuff out of desperation and seeking stuff because it will actually do something to help. And, you know, when we are seeking stuff for desperation, you know, we have to fundamentally recognize that. And that's not to say that we still don't look for those scraps off the table. You know, by all means, if you're starving, take the scraps. But don't try and trick yourself and trick other people into believing that the scraps that fall off the table are actually a feast, or that you're actually getting anything more than bare basic scraps that are falling off the table. You know, be honest with yourself and be honest with others about what's happening. And then that way we can actually start to look at some proper progress and where we go from here.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.